Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. We know the reaction of the women early on that very first Easter morning when they reached the empty tomb. In fact, we know the reaction of the guards as the earth shook underneath them and angels appeared to roll away the stone. We know the reaction of the disciples to the various post-resurrection visits by our Lord. We even know the reaction of Christ's enemies who tried to cover up the resurrection event. But what is heaven's reaction to the resurrection? How is Easter viewed from heaven? A vision of heaven is given to us that answers our question. Here is a glimpse of heaven after Easter from the book of Revelation. In Revelation 5, it is recorded, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I, John, wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and your blood has purchased men for God of every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign forever.'" In this vision, certainly God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are present, and yet all heavenly activity is centered around the Lamb, just as it is in Christian worship. For here we are given a description of a Lamb that looked as if it had been slain. And yet these were not scars that brought pity to this creature, but great honor. From this we know that we are looking at the resurrected Jesus. For in eternity, Jesus will still be known by his scars. This Lamb is the same Jesus who took our sins away, sins that once separated us from God, but no more. For we know the symbolism of the Lamb looking as if it had been slain. This is Jesus back from the dead and among the living. And he is now receiving the praise in heaven which he deserved on earth but was denied. Now, I'll admit this portrayal might seem a bit strange and as bizarre as the rest of Revelation to some of us. But for those of us here who by faith celebrate Easter this morning, we recognize the symbolism immediately. For we see Christ in this Lamb, who had previously been slain but is now fully restored to life. This slain lamb is now receiving divine worship and honor and praise. And so he is definitively the Jesus Christ we know after his death and resurrection. This is the same lamb that we talked about during Lent, who bore our shame and is so central to our faith. And now he stands victorious and at the center of all things in heaven. In heaven, Jesus will continue to be known as the Lamb, and he will still bear the marks of crucifixion, because his sacrificial death will always have eternal significance. Angels and saints alike in heaven will never get tired of hearing the story of his great and heroic sacrifice. And they will sing in heaven a more perfect version of the hymn we sing on earth. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. And so what we are seeing in heaven is the celebration of Easter. Now we know that Easter will lose none of its relevance in heaven. Revelation shows that heaven's celebration of Easter is ongoing. For heaven will forever look back on the events of Good Friday and Easter in a kind of awe and amazement. And the song of the crucified Christ, when it is sung in heaven, will always end in a loud crescendo. At first in this vision, we see God holding a scroll sealed with seven seals that no one could open. The next thing we see is an angel lamenting, saying, "Who is worthy to break the seals and to open this scroll?" This question reminds me of the question the women asked on the way to the tomb, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" They asked this because they forgot the power of Jesus. As the angel continues his search, he finds no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth who is worthy to break the seals and to look inside the scroll. In fact, in this vision, John gets so caught up in the moment that he finds himself weeping. Again, this weeping reminds me of the weeping of the women and the disciples as they laid Jesus in the tomb. For again, they forgot both the power of Christ and the promises he made. This seems to happen in heaven for just a split second. And then, as if out of nowhere, a herald steps forward and announces with these words, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of Judah has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll with its seven seals." Who is this Lion of Judah, and what is his victory? Again, this is resurrection symbolism. The Lion is Christ. His triumph is Easter. For the Lamb of God in heaven is also the Lion of Judah. Now, I know Revelation is a complicated book, and I know it's full of difficult symbolism. I know that much of it is shrouded in mystery. But my friends, the lion is easy to interpret. The lion is the symbol of our resurrected Lord, who has just triumphed over sin and death and devil by his cross and resurrection. And so Lion of Judah becomes the post-Easter title for Jesus, because it denotes his strength and his power over death. You and I only know the meek Jesus, the so-called weak Jesus, who went submissively to his death to redeem us with his blood. And this noble act will never be forgotten. And he will always answer to the name Lamb of God when we address him in heaven. But since that very first Easter morning when he defeated the grave by literally ripping death to shreds, by devouring Satan in his resurrection, heaven has found a more powerfully descriptive name for Jesus, drawn from the strength that he exerted by his resurrection from the dead. For now the Lamb is a lion. In fact, the next time we see the risen Christ, it will be as that lion and not as the Lamb. For while he is as gentle as a lamb towards us who believe, he will one day be as fearsome as that lion against all who have declared themselves his enemies when he returns. For even now, he is in heaven preparing to return as the conquering Lord to vanish all his foes and to gather us, his chosen people, marked as his own by faith and by baptism. So what does the scroll mean? What does the scroll do? The scroll, my friends, is a look into the future. It describes the world's future and its fate. Is our fate sealed like that scroll? All human history, every person's destiny, depends on what is inside that scroll. And Jesus is the only one who can answer, because everyone's eternal destiny hinges on faith in his death and resurrection. In fact, the cross and his empty tomb influence everything in history as the world and its history unfold. Eternal outcomes are going to be decided by whether or not people trusted in his death and resurrection. For remember, in Revelation, a resurrected Jesus says, "Fear not, for I hold the keys of death and hell." The fact that only Jesus is able to open the scroll is again a symbolic way of saying that there is salvation in no one else but Jesus. And in heaven, the multitudes that surround the Lamb sing about this. They sing about how his blood is the purchase price that ransomed us from sin and that saves us from eternal death. As the result of Good Friday and Easter, heaven sings, "Salvation belongs to the Lamb, to Jesus." My friends, heaven is a free gift. A gift that Jesus gives to people of every race and tribe and color and nation. Heaven is free, and so it is certain to anyone who believes in Jesus. This is the cause of celebration in heaven, and this is why we celebrate so early on Easter morning. Keep in mind that the Lamb being praised in heaven is also on earth with us, his redeemed people. The Lamb of God is present as you hear this word of grace preached and announced to you, and every time you participate in his supper. Jesus talked about heaven long before John had a revelation. And Jesus would often describe heaven as a great banquet feast. Remember the father of the prodigal son, who when that son returned, decided to throw a feast with the fattened calf. Food was scarce, and people fasted only on special occasions in Jesus' day. They feasted at weddings. They feasted after great military victories and conquest. My friends, this morning, we are now at the Lamb's high feast. For we are feasting on Jesus, the bread of life. Because Christ defeated death and hell and Satan, all for us, it's easy to celebrate with him. The feast begins on earth, but it continues as an eternal celebration of Easter in heaven. Jesus makes the resurrection ours by giving us of his own crucified and resurrected body and blood to eat and drink. And so, earth is not much different than heaven. For the people of God, there is a striking similarity between worship on earth and in heaven. For we celebrate the Lamb's high feast, whether now or in heaven. Easter is the feast of the resurrection, as it has been called for centuries in the Christian church, for this very reason, that we are celebrating this day on earth what we will still be celebrating in eternity in heaven. And that is that the Lamb once slain has purchased us with his blood to be priests and kings forever in his kingdom. And we are an eternally grateful people. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, give your hearts joy and peace in believing. Amen.